Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see you all today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Looks like we're a little back heavy today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hope we don't do a wheelie or something as we got, but we might just take off and do a wheelie. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. But glory to God. So thankful that you're here with us today. You come to the right place at the right time. God's got good things for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, two people believe that. Hallelujah. We're excited two people believe it. What Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, the rest of us can get there too. Amen. Well, I mean, that might be a little change up, but we know what God said. He's there in the midst of us. Amen. God's got good things for us. Amen. That's why we congregate together. You know, just as I was in prayer there, I was thinking about the body of Christ. And, you know, the body's called the body for a reason. Some people think they can be a body. We all know that we're not all the body. We're a body part. Amen. We're a part of the body. Amen. But if you're a body part, amen, you're no good unless you're connected to the body. Amen. And that connection is a physical connection. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all joined together naturally speaking. Amen. But we are joined together spiritually speaking. And as we congregate together, amen, God does wonderful things in our midst. And aren't you glad that he does? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad for the local church. It was the local church that changed my life. Yes. Amen. Of course, it was God. You know, my wife used that scripture. She said that scripture changed. Well, there's many scriptures that changed our life, but that changed our life in that area. Amen. And how many know that there's scriptures for every area of your life? Yeah. And if there's a scripture for every area of life, that that every area of your life can be affected and should be affected. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm just so glad that I got into a place where God taught me the word. Amen. Now, it's not family church specifically that is the all-knowing, all-seeing. Amen. But we just know that family church is endeavor, in our imperfection, family church has endeavored to be after his perfection. Amen. And so as much as we try, as much as the Bible says, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Bible says to seek after him and you'll find. The Bible says the knock and the door will be open. We keep doing all those things week in and week out. Amen. I hope you're doing it more than just on Sunday. Amen. Because we are. Praise the Lord. We're trying to do it every week. Stay before God. Stay before the Lord. See what he wants. Amen. You know, one thing I've been finding, and excuse me if I talk a minute. I just kind of got a thing going here. Praise the Lord. But, you know, one thing that I've just been on so much lately, the Lord is just leading me to, is knowing him more, getting to know him more, getting building that relationship between me and the Heavenly Father. Amen. And that's good for a pastor to do. How many are glad that their pastor seeks the Lord? Amen. Praise God. But it's not just good for the pastor. It's also good for the gander. Amen. Praise God. It's good for the goose. It's good for the gander. I don't even know what that means. It probably doesn't. Is that bad? Does it mean a bit? It doesn't mean that. But I'm just basically saying if it's good for one, it's good for the other. And goose and gander just sounded right in my head. So if that means something, it completely does. We know that sometimes I'll say things just according to my unintellectualness. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is what you get. See, kids, this is why you finish high school. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In case you didn't know, I am a high school dropout. Praise the Lord. Went back, got my good enough diploma. That's a GED, in case you didn't understand what that is. Praise the Lord. But God is good. Amen. He can use even me. Praise the Lord. And I don't say that in any kind of slight towards myself. I say it because God is so good. Amen. He uses the foolish things of the world. So if I can be foolish for a little bit, praise the Lord, and it changed somebody's life, well, glory to God, I'll step up to the plate and I'll be a fool all day long. Amen. Well, glory to God. Well, that's just the introduction. Praise the Lord. That's welcome to Family Church. We're excited to have you here. I was looking up the screen for no reason whatsoever. Amen. Probably all. I remember there was a stamp I saw when I was a kid. I always loved the picture. It was an Australian stamp, but the picture was a cartoon on the stamp, and it was like you got the idea. It was in some kind of art museum or something. And there was a sculpture of a hand doing this, and everybody was standing around going like this. And I just always loved that. Always thought about, you know, because wherever people look. You know, or, well, never mind. Praise the Lord. Meant something to me. Today's message, this is a real good title, and this might surprise you a little bit. It was called Conversion Therapy. Praise the Lord. Conversion Therapy. Praise God. Hallelujah. And in today's climate, we are not talking about how this is usually used. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there's people that debate those things. I'm not debating those things. I'm not even going to talk about those things because I'll probably get myself into trouble here this morning. But this is the name that came to me, conversion therapy. This is actually what all Christians need. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it wasn't me doing right that got me into a whole heap of trouble, was it? When I was living in the world, when I was living like the devil, amen, when I was living that way, the very fact that I needed to be converted was very evident. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be talking about converting ourselves today. Amen. You know, as I was, I'm not a morning person, though I would love to be. Amen. I probably should confess that a little more. Maybe it would happen. But I'm typically not up early in the morning. Amen. But this morning, and this happens to me from time to time, that I'll woke up, you know, super early in the morning, and a lot of times that there's something, you know, to either pray out or there's something that God wants to share with me. And this morning I was woke up quite early. I had a kind of a restless night, but I woke up about 4:30 this morning, and I went out to decide I was just going to seek the Lord. I went out to the living room to seek the Lord and stuff. And as I did, I had a real, I hesitate to call it a vision because it was just real quick. It was brief, but the words, not interested, flashed before my eyes. And I saw it very clear. It was actually in my spirit. It wasn't like it flashed out here or anything like that, you know. And it wasn't like a little angel came through the room with the sign saying, not interested, amen. But these words, not interested, flashed before me. And, you know, that's something that we've kind of been, my wife, it's a topic we've been kind of, not those words specifically, but we've been thinking about the idea of what that is, you know, in the church world and stuff like that. You know, and what I've realized and what I've come to understand is that, there's a lot of Christians that just aren't very interested in what God's doing. There's a lot of Christians that aren't very interested in what God wants to do. You know, we live in a time and age where there's lots and lots of distraction. You know, and I know that I talk about distraction often. It's something that comes up often, but it's something that needs to be talked about even more. It needs to come up even more, and the reason that it does is because God is trying to get something over to us. We cannot live that plan that God has for us if we're distracted by things in this world. It's just the way it is. You know, and I endeavor, there's probably some correction in today's message, but I endeavored to, sought the Lord this morning. I said, God, help me to preach this message with love and from the love of God and the love of Christ. Amen. That's my goal. That's my heart. You know that if I ever say anything that's bold, my goal is to help people, help people into what God has for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm just going to say this kind of ahead of time. If for some reason it doesn't come out with the love of Christ and it comes out bold and kind of you feel kind of mean, like I was mean or something like that, just understand, I asked God. So if it doesn't happen, it's his fault, not mine. Well, I asked God, and the Bible says that if you ask, you shall receive. And so some people are looking at me like, oh my God, did he just say that? I'm just joking. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, God filters things through human pipes. Glory, aren't you glad? Amen. That's why I can always say that if it's good, it's God. And if it's not, well, it's not. It was me. Amen. But God wants to get some things over to us. Amen. And we know that he answers prayers. Praise the Lord. So we want to be people that are interested. We don't want to be people that are not interested in what God wants to do. Amen. We want to see the fullness of God's plan, because in the fullness of God's plan is the fullness of joy. We understand that in the presence of God is the fullness of joy, the Bible tells us. And so we understand that God wants us to be in that place of joy. And of course, we know that there's going to be opposition and trial here on earth, but God's intent is to get us through that to the other side until we get to heaven. Amen. And then we won't deal with any of that stuff anymore. Aren't you glad? Well, praise the Lord. I want to share this as we get into this, and this is where the idea of the name conversion therapy comes from, is talking about scriptural repentance. Praise God. Scriptural repentance, literally, if you study that word out, repentance in the Greek, it literally is a change of mind of a purpose one has formed. A change of mind of a purpose one has formed. You know, before I came to Christ, I had many ideas about many things. I had lots of thoughts about the way, things should happen. You know, one of the things I learned by being involved in the court systems, amen, by being involved in the different court systems, doing things, you know, being before judges and stuff like that. I didn't live a squeaky clean life, you know, beforehand. But, when I was before a court or before a judge, or when I was sitting with lawyers, one thing that I learned is what I thought should be is not always the way things were. I mean, I had figured it all out in my head. I got it down. I thought, well, this is the way it's going to be. I'm in the right. I know I am because of this, this, or this. It doesn't matter. And I noticed that there's a lot of people that think those same things. Yeah. But then we have judges and lawyers that tell us something completely different. Amen. And then sometimes, you know, and so that's something we have to understand is that our mindset, naturally speaking, doesn't always give us the answer. And that's how we have so many people that live lives, so many Christians that live lives, because they've never fully been converted. And what I mean by that is they may have received Jesus. Praise the Lord for receiving Jesus. It's the best thing you could ever do. But it's not the only thing you can ever do. That's the first thing that we are to do. Amen? But once we receive Jesus, there's a whole lot more that comes along with it. And I'm not talking about living a life of works mentality. I'm not saying that we have to, that we're going to get to heaven, or that we're going to somehow be saved because of what we do. Amen. I'm not talking about that. But we do know in Ephesians it tells us that we are to be saved for good works. And so there are things that God wants us, intends for us to accomplish. Amen. And so we want to be people that will do that. But if we don't have a change of mind or a change of heart, we're going to have a hard time getting into the plan of God. We're going to have a hard time doing that because not all things operate the way we think they do. Praise God. In fact, a lot of us, if things just went the way we wanted them to go, we probably wouldn't be in church in the first place, to tell you the truth. Amen. What brought you to church? I don't know what brought you, but what brought me was that I was looking at the end of my life in my early 20s. I mean, I was looking at a place. I remember going... I remember going to my grandparents, who were my spiritual upbringing, and saying to them, I don't know. I know what I need, but I don't know how to get there. Because I knew I needed change. Hallelujah. I knew I needed something. I needed to be converted. I was a Christian. I was a believer. I was somebody who believed. I was backslidden severely, but I knew that the Bible was true, and I knew that God was real. I knew that Jesus was real, and I knew that He wanted to change my life. But how to connect those dots, I didn't know. Praise the Lord. And so I began my journey there about when I was about 20, roughly about 24 years old. I began my journey to start going in that direction. Praise God. And, you know, since then, I was a person, you know, there was a lot of things in my life that were, there was a lot of things. You forgive me if I just, there's some stuff that's just coming out of me right now. I hope you don't mind. Amen. But there was a lot of things that needed to be changed. There was a lot of things that God wanted to do. And I didn't know how it was ever going to happen. You know, I had things on my heart. I even had pastoring on my heart from a young age, but I never thought that I would ever qualify for it. I never thought that I would ever be able to do it. Amen. In fact, the very thought of standing in front of people still to this day sometimes makes me ill. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we're here by the grace of God. Amen. But it's, and I've learned that as I go, that it's continual change. It's not just something that we do once. It's not just that we make once, but God will constantly make adjustments in you. And He does so lovingly and as a good father. Now, if we don't listen, sometimes we have to get the smack down, you know what I mean? But God's lovingly going to try to make adjustments in us. Why? Because He wants to make us better people. And not you know, when we're saved, God loves us so greatly and all that stuff, but God wants to make us useful. He wants to make us people that He can use, and I want to get into the message. Praise the Lord. So let's get there. Let's turn to Matthew 18:1. Amen. We need a change of mind. We need a change of heart. Amen. And as Christians, we need to constantly evaluate our life. Constantly. And I'm not saying live in condemnation. There is a difference. There are some Christians, and I talk to Christians all the time, good-hearted Christians. I could name some of you that are good-hearted Christians, that you do a wonderful job, and you know, you're just going through life, and sometimes the devil will get on you, and you sit there, and you feel like I'm just not doing good enough, or I'm not doing good enough, and I'm sitting there as a pastor, I'm thinking, man, I wish I could multiply you. I wish I could make a whole bunch of you, because you're not perfect, but you're after God, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We need to be people like that, but God wants to always perfect us more and make us better, and He does so gracefully, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 18:1. We're going to read through verse 4. Praise the Lord. It says here, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Amen. They want to know who's the greatest, right? Who's the best? Then Jesus called a little child to Him set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child," I was going to read that far, but praise the Lord. We'll finish it. "Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Glory to God. And so we see here that Jesus is talking about converting ourselves into a different way of thinking. Amen. We, you know, sometimes in the church we call this childlike faith. Amen. You know, to convert means to turn oneself. Amen. Now, you know, if you're going in a certain direction, amen, and you get to a place where it says dead end, amen, what do you know about that? You can't go any further. So what do? You turn around and you go in a different direction. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, dead ends, there's many dead ends sometimes in our lives. Sometimes we'll be going down a road or a path that just doesn't seem to be leading anywhere, doesn't seem to be doing anything for us. Amen. That's kind of a dead end, isn't it? What do we need? We need to convert. We need to turn. And the same thing is Jesus is saying we need to convert our thinking. We need to convert how we are, how we see things, how we view things. Praise the Lord. We need to have a conversion of our heart. Amen. To be humble or humble means to make low or of less value. So to humble yourself is literally to not to debase yourself, not to sit there and beat up on yourself, not to, you know, to some religions, they whip themselves with cords and stuff. That's not what it's talking about. That's not being humble at all. Praise the Lord. What being humble is to lower your own estimation of yourself, your own self-importance. In other words, you're not just looking out for your interests. You're looking out for the interest of others. You're not just looking out what's good for you. You're looking, now, parents, this is easy generally. If you're a good parent, it's easy for you to do this, isn't it? Amen? To look at your kids and say, you know, I would give up my life for that child. Amen? How many fathers or mothers wouldn't run into a burning building to save a child's life, even at the risk of their own? Of course, we all would. Amen? And that's exactly what that is. That's what humbling yourself is. Humbling yourself for the things of God is the same thing. And for the kingdom of God is the same thing. To say, you know, what my plans are. You know, we talk so often about plans. But it's so true that we have to be reminded. I'm going to tell you the truth. As a person who preaches about plans, I have to constantly look at my plans and say, are these God's plans or are these my plans? Amen. I want to share this with you. Dake's study Bible says this about this scripture here. It says, without worldly ambitions to be the greatest and without lust for money, power, and fame, become as little children who act among themselves as equals. You know, children, unless they're taught differently, will act like equals. They don't see skin color. They don't see gender. They don't see, they'll notice things, obviously. That's what I love about kids is they notice things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I always give this story about Marky when he was a little boy. We went to this restaurant where we'd go get coffee often. And he was probably about, I'm going to guess he was probably about 4 years old, maybe 5 years old, somewhere in there. And this lady came in who was also a regular, and she had had one of her legs amputated. And, Marky, when she came in, I immediately knew this wasn't going to be good because I knew Marky was going to see this. And instantly, of course, he looks over and he's like, "Dad." And I'm like, "Shut up, Marky." And he says, "But Dad." I mean, he had never seen a lady with one leg before. And so this was like, this is a whole new thing. He's like, I said, "Shut up, Marky." He's like, "But Dad." I'm like, "Shut up, Mark." Glory to God. Children notice things, amen. But you know, the thing is he didn't judge the lady. He just noticed something that was different about her, but he didn't. I mean, some people look at that. You know, we may have looked at the lady and judged all kinds of things, but he wasn't judging that. You know, some people would have been judging, you know, what did you do or what happened, you know. He was just looking. It wasn't there. It was supposed to be. Amen. You know what I mean? And I got to say something about it, but praise the Lord. You know, we need to look at this world the way children do, more the way that children do, amen? We need to turn ourselves. We need to turn ourselves from critical thinking. Again, as I mean being critical towards others or other things, you know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying that we just accept things that are wrong. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. Because one thing, if you know this church, one thing that we do teach is you don't accept anything that the Bible says is wrong. Right. We don't just start accepting things because it's popular in society. I'm just going to tell you right now, I ain't going to do that. I'll be the first one to stand up and say something against it. Praise the Lord. But we do need to stop being critical of one another. We need to stop looking at each other like, am I greater than that person? Am I doing better? You know what I mean? Well, or who's going to get the best prize? Or who gets this position? Or whatever. You know, that's not what we're after. That's not what we're in this for. Amen. Praise the Lord. They look at each other as equals. And you know, it talks about without the lust of money, power, or fame. Of course, you know, fame, I don't think is something any of us should seek after. I mean, some people it does come to. There are ministers, you know, that will just have bigger congregations, will reach larger groups of people. And they'll make more money. That doesn't make them ungodly. Praise the Lord. It doesn't make them, because they're famous, it doesn't make them necessarily ungodly. The fruit is in how they act and how they live. Praise the Lord. How many people are helped by them. You know, so we need to be careful about judging those things even. You know, Christians, we can be the most judgmental people sometimes. I have heard Christians rail against other Christians without even knowing them. And you know, it's like I said, you know, it's just like people that talk about, you know, why does that minister need an airplane? Why do you care? Why does it matter if someone has an airplane that you don't have? You know what I mean? Like, you could have an airplane too if you work towards it. But, you know, if it helps a ministry, I'm just going to tell you the truth. If it helps a ministry, I've flown just enough to know this. Praise the Lord. That if you're traveling 3/4 of your life, amen, you deserve to have, especially if you're doing it for the gospel, you deserve to have a way to get you around where you ain't got to spend all this extra time in airports and stuff like that, or have, planes canceled or things changed on you last minute. There is a lot of traveling that people don't get. But see, people judge things that they don't understand. And I'm not here advocating for anyone. I'm not saying that every minister that has an airplane should have an airplane. I'm not saying that either. But what I'm saying is we don't come against things just because it's something that we don't have or for some reason that we, you know, it's foolishness to do that. In fact, what we find out is that you will limit yourself more in the power of God by what you critique others on. Praise the Lord. Than what you do right. I mean, or what you do, that's the most wrong thing that we can do. And God hates that in his people. Oh, praise the Lord. So we see this, that we need to be turned just as a child is, converted as a child is, amen? You know, a child is very easy to sway in a different direction. And when I say this again, you know, the Bible says to be mature towards things like sin, but be as a child towards the things of God. We need to receive the things of God with an open heart, not critically, not pushing it away, amen? Praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, turn with me to 2 Chronicles. This will not be a scripture that you are unfamiliar with. Amen. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Actually, this is a very important scripture for Christians. Say, well, that Old Testament stuff doesn't apply anymore. Well, no, praise the Lord, it certainly does. Amen. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 14. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we'll read 14, 15. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Okay, first of all, God's saying, if my people who are called by my name, so we are the chosen of God. We are the born-again, blood-bought believers in Christ. Hallelujah. Is there any of those in here today? Glory to God. I'm thankful for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're my brothers and sisters in the faith. Glory to God. It excites me. It stirs me up that you're here. Praise God. Not just because you're in this church, but just because you're here receiving what God has for you. Because on this Sunday morning, amen, there wasn't something better for you to do. You came to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will lower themselves in their own estimation. Praise God. Praise the Lord, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You could say this and be interested. Yeah. You know, I knew that when I saw that flash before me, not interested, I knew exactly what it was talking about. It's talking about the lack of interest in the things of God. Yeah. It's the lack of interest in God himself. What is the things of God are directly connected to God. We can't have one without the other. Amen. Praise the Lord, and turn from their wicked ways. My people, turn from their wicked ways. Notice he said that. These are this. I mean, in the New Testament, we would say it this way: that the Christians would turn from their wicked ways. Do you think just because you're saved, you can't have wicked ways? Oh, I see it all the time. As a pastor of just 5 years, I see it try to creep in all the time. Why is that? Because people are bad people. No, we don't have a church. I dare say, without knowing every church in the world, but we have the best church in the entire world, praise the Lord. I dare say that, glory to God. Now, I could be wrong, and I could be biased, but I believe that with my heart, amen? We have the most wonderful people. I just love all you. I adore you. When I think of you, all my most of you, my life, no, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke, praise the Lord. Glory to God. In fact, yesterday I was driving, I was behind, the day before, I was behind Aaron. We were both pulling trailers at the same time on the same road. How crazy is that, right? Praise the Lord. But we're driving down the road, and we get to a stop sign, so we both have to stop, and I'm waving out the window, she's waving out the window, we're yelling back and forth. Yeah. We're yelling back and forth. See, I just get excited. I just love the people of my church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I didn't do this, you know. Praise the Lord. Yeah, yeah. I didn't turn down another road. I said, no, I'm following her. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. No, we love our sister, and we love all you. Praise the Lord. But my people who are called by my name, amen, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, glory to God. You know, see, this is something that we have to understand, that we can have wicked ways. There's things in us that aren't pure sometimes. There's thoughts you will have that aren't pure. There's things that you will kind of take hold of that aren't right. You know, it's okay to be told you're wrong. I know that today, in today's society, we don't like to tell people they're wrong because that's mean, and that's like, you know, you just hurt somebody's feelings. But listen, I'm glad somebody told me I was wrong, because my feelings were being hurt a lot worse by what I was doing wrong than being told that I was wrong. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. A smack on the hand feels a lot better than getting burnt by the stove. You know what I'm saying? It just does. And you know it. Amen? So if they'll turn from wicked ways, God said, and that's all he's asked of us, is just turn from your wicked ways. Look to the word and say, okay, just reevaluate your life. Say, is this thing that I'm doing, is this God, or am I being distracted? Is this thing that I'm doing, does this bring glory to the kingdom of God, or does it pull me away, or does it pull others away? That's just as wicked as murder, something like that. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. What a wonderful thing. So God says he promises us that he'll heal our land. Of course, we know that to mean as our nation. Praise God for it. We would love to see our nation healed from a lot of things. Yeah. But you know, this is also personal. Yeah. Your own land. Yeah. What does your own household need? What do you need in your own life? God wants to heal it. That's his plan. You know, I was so excited to finally see something like this in the news. Glory to God. I just, real quick, as I was getting ready this morning, I checked the news real quick, as I like to do. There was a minister somewhere down south who's been blind for 14 years, and today he can see. Praise God. Glory to God. Don't tell me God doesn't heal. God is a healer. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's one of his names, is healer. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But it's awesome to see that out there in the news so everybody else can see it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. But look what it goes on to say here. I love it. And verse 15 just takes it further. It says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. What place? That place of being humble, that place of repentance, that place of conversion, that place where you're like, you know what? Maybe I was getting, and this is what I love about God. Hallelujah. You can be off a little bit in your life. You can be off a lot of bit in your life. But if you will have an open heart towards the things of God, glory to God, and you will turn back to him. He will make you go right back on path without skipping a beat. Amen. Now, if you don't listen and don't listen and don't listen, you can get yourself off quite a ways. You understand? But this is what I mean, because I was recently counseling someone, and I just loved that God gave me this revelation as I was talking to them. They had made a mistake. They had been doing pretty good, but they made a mistake, and they screwed up and went backwards a little bit. And when I was standing before this person, they seemed like, you know, it was the end of the world. And I just said very, very plainly, I'm like, you're no further away than you were before if you've repented. Right. If you've just repented before God, you're no further away. Right. Just get right back on and go with God. Amen. Right. Isn't that awesome a thing about our God? He is like we see here in the scripture that God, his goal, his intent, his desire is to be attentive to our prayers and to answer them. That's what he wants to do. God wants to answer everything. But it comes in a place of us humbling ourselves and saying, you know what? I'm interested in God more than just for something I can get out of him. Amen. You know, there's a lot of Christians that live their lives. It's just the only reason they're a Christian is to save them from hell. They do nothing for God. I'm going to tell you, those people will be surprised on Judgment Day. Those people will be surprised when they stand before Jesus and he'll say, I know that you were just using me for fire insurance. Do you think that Jesus didn't mean it when he said that there will be some of you that will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, I didn't know you. What are those Christians? They're Christians that really aren't doing anything for God. Those Christians whose hearts aren't in it for the Lord, amen? And we want to be those Christians who are, amen? Well, praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn with me to Matthew. We're going back to Matthew. We're going to see this here too a little bit. Praise the Lord. I love the Word of God because the Word of God, if you truly, truly, truly look to the Word of God, I'm telling you, it always answers. Always answers. It is so amazing how much is in here. We have to have the right heart towards people as well. You know, my wife was telling me, she was mentioning how she was watching some of this, this guy who does some street evangelism and stuff, and he had reached out to somebody famous. He had actually got to be contacted to this famous guy who is very anti-God. And, you know, I've even watched videos from this famous guy who's anti-God, and I thought, you know, oh, man, he's just nasty, you know, and it actually made me lose a lot of respect for him and stuff. But then when she was telling me about this conversation that he had with this street preacher, I thought it was very interesting because I saw something that I didn't see before. And I said to my wife, this was actually as I was showering, I said to my wife, I said, you know what? I said, he's searching for God. He's out there railing against him, but he's searching for God. I could see it. And then I just prayed right there. I was like, Lord, send him somebody who can reach him. Send him somebody who can answer those questions for him. Because somebody's got the answer for all of us. Amen. So God will put it out there. If you are hungry for God, he will get you the answer. If you really, truly care about the things of God, he will get you the knowledge. He always will. He always will. Praise the Lord. I said he always will. Amen. That he is such a good, good God that he will do that. But what my point is in saying that is we have to be careful. Even with people that rail against God, sometimes they're the ones that are searching. Sometimes it would just take the right Christian to say the right thing to them that would convert them. My wife said she was an atheist. She didn't believe in God. I'm just telling you right now. It happens. Amen. It's not a rarity. Praise the Lord. People change all the time when they hear the right word. Amen? Well, praise God. That's why we got to seek the Lord. If we're just seeking God day to day, Lord, how do I pay my bills? Lord, how do I get past this sickness? How do I get past this? How do I get past this? How do I get past this? You ever notice that we can get caught up in that? How do I fix my own life, God? You know how you fix your own life? You go out and start doing the Word of God. You go out and start preaching the Word. Guess what? Your life will change. The things that you're looking for, they'll be there. Because Jesus said, don't worry about all those things. And that's all that we worry about. Jesus said, don't even think about it. He said, look at the birds in the air, how well they're taken care of. He said, if God's going to take care of them, he'll take care of you. So stop fretting about all this stuff. But what do we worry about? Oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Or I don't know. Bill came up. Who cares? They're going to come up. Praise the Lord. There's a lost and dying world out there. What's more important to you? Is it more important to you to pay that bill? Or is it more important to you to get someone saved? I'll tell you what, when it becomes more important to you to get somebody saved, all your bills won't be, you won't worry about them. They won't be an issue. Why? Because Jesus never walked around in lack. He did the will of God perfectly and he never had lack. He never saw a moment where he's like, well, I don't know what we're going to do. I guess we're going to starve today. No, he didn't do that. He told the disciples, they went out, they fished all night long, right? This is before they were disciples. They went out, they fished all night long. They catch nothing. Amen? Nothing. Everybody say nothing. What's nothing? Nothing. They didn't catch anything. Well, if you're a fisherman, you catch nothing, that's not good. Praise the Lord. If you're just out there, you know, having a day and you're just enjoying yourself, you don't catch anything, well, that's fine. But if you're out there fishing for a living, you need to catch something. Yeah. Jesus said, let me borrow your boat. They let him borrow his boat. He preached a message, right? Afterwards, he says, go back out, cast your nets over this side. Praise the Lord. They said, we didn't catch anything, but nevertheless, at your word, we'll do that. Yeah. So they did that. What happened? Their nets were full. Yeah. Why do you think God did something like that? Yeah. Just for an experience? So he can have something nice to write in the Bible, because we know that God, the eternal God, probably didn't have a whole lot to say. No, he wrote those things so we knew we would see something. When you do the word of God, when you do the work of God, when you follow after God, you don't go without. He takes care of you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you're excited about that. Matthew 13, verse 24. Hallelujah. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while a man slept, or while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Now, I know you don't know what tares are, probably. I didn't know what they are. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean that you won't, but I just assume that you probably don't, because we don't deal with this. Now, this was a common thing in Eastern culture, that what would happen is an enemy would get mad at their, you know, if somebody was their enemy of another farmer who was going to sow or who was going to plant, what they would do is when they weren't around, they would go sow tares, that was another kind of plant, in with their wheat, and this was a way of kind of sabotaging their harvest, okay? This is what I did a little bit of a study on. This is what tares are. They're a grain that looks like wheat while growing. It looks just like wheat while it's growing. So it's hard to tell what the difference is. But when full grown and ripe, has ears which are long, the grains being black and poisonous. Wow. So Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. Look around you. Some of you are tares. No, I'm just kidding. We don't want to be, none of us in here are tares, but we want to be aware of tares trying to come in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, no, I'm in the wrong one. Sorry. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" And he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now, we know that in reference to this, when Jesus talks about this later on, they ask him to explain this, and Jesus goes on to tell us that the wheat and the tares are the church. It's in the church, amen? And so we understand this, that there will be people at times that are poisonous to congregations. People who will say bad things, people who will talk against the work, people who will not get on board, people who won't humble themselves, people who will have more opinions than will have godly direction, people who want their own way instead of the way of other people, who want to come and get fed, but they don't want to put out. Amen? Yeah, they don't want to give back. People that come just to church just for themselves, those are tares. Why? They can be poisonous. They could be poisonous to a congregation. Why? Because they can hinder the flow of what God wants to do. I once heard a minister talk about this, that it's easier to have a move of God with a small number of people than it is with a large number of people, because with a small number of people, it's easy to get them all in one accord. Now, you know this to be true. I mean, I could take my family and out of all this congregation, I spend more time with my family than I do most of you, right? And so as I'm around my family, I can share my vision and what God has shown me to do and what God has told me to do, and I can stir them up, praise the Lord. But to do it with a whole group of people, sometimes it's a little bit more difficult, because maybe you have some new people that come in and they don't know me as well. So they're like, "Well, he's asking for money for this. Why would I trust him with my money?" You know what I mean? Or why would I trust this church with my money? Or why would I trust, with my time or with anything, you know? There's different places. I love that one of the things in the family churches that has helped me so greatly is the fact that the ones who have been put over me, or I've been put under, praise the Lord, have always risen to that. Like, I've known them, I've learned in their lives that if they ask to give, they're givers. Yeah. They are. Yeah. I think about Pastor Michael Laketic, the one who started the whole thing. I don't know anyone, possibly, who gives more than this man. Yeah. I mean, he's just constantly putting out. He's constantly looking for areas to sow into. And if he doesn't see any, he just makes them up. Yeah. You know what I mean? He just goes, he'll go shopping and buy somebody's groceries. How do I know this stuff? Why? I've learned to know the man over years. This is why, you know, we don't just have anybody in the pulpit. I don't, you know, I don't just pick and choose, we'll have this person in this time, this person in this time. You know, Pastor Noel Ramos coming in, that was godly ordained. God put us together over years. This has been in the making for probably at least 3 or 4 years, maybe even more. Praise the Lord. Yeah, actually, if you look back, it actually goes back to even before I was pastoring, that God has been building this this relationship. And this is a man who travels internationally. This is somebody who goes to big churches. This is not somebody who needs to necessarily come to Mayville. But when the Lord told him, and he even told me, he said, now, of course, this is not the way we operate, but he even told me when he said to me, he said, don't worry about any of the, you know, the money or the finances or any of that stuff. Of course, we always take care of people because that's what the Bible says to do. But so I don't care what somebody says like that, you know what I mean? But he, you know, offered to basically come on his own dime just because God called him to do it. See, that's the kind of people that I want to have around. People who care enough about the local church that they're not trying to leave with something, they're trying to impart something. That when they leave, that the church is better because they've been there. Amen? Praise the Lord. And this is how we should be as Christians. This is how we should be as individuals, that we're always looking to impart into other people's lives. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Why is that? Because God does more. He can do more. Because it puts you into that place of being humble where God's answering your prayers. He's hearing your prayers. And praise God. The things that we do can overshadow the things that we do wrong. The things that we do right towards God can overshadow. That's what living righteous is. It's not that you live perfect, but it's that you love God so much and that you're after the things of God so much that as you walk through this life, the things that you put out, they overshadow those things because God is truly working through you. Amen. And we all know that none of us can do it except for God. We're not doing it apart from God by our own ability. We're doing it with God's ability within us. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we need to be converted in our minds to the place where this is not something that we have to be reminded of. It's something we remind ourselves of. We need to remind ourselves daily. You know what? Is my motive in this or that? Is this just for me to gain? Or is this for me? And it's not wrong. Like, God loves you to have your desires of your heart. God does not mind if you're blessed and you live a good life and you have a nice house and a nice car. And heck, he'll even let you have a boat. Praise the Lord. Let us have one last year. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wish he'd give me a better trailer. No, I'm just kidding. It's just a joke. We got to fix the trailer just that. That was completely a joke. God is always taking care of us. Amen. But the trailer kept me humble this year. I'll just tell you that much. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But no, it's, praise the Lord. You know, God does not mind if you have nice things. He's not, but you know, here's the other side of it too. My wife read Luke 6:38. You know, we're always looking for opportunity to give. I don't say that to say, oh, look at us. I say that because that's just the way it is. To encourage other people, listen, our lives need to be about giving. What we put out. What can we do here? What can we do there? Praise the Lord. And it won't always be here. It'll be out there. Actually, most of what we do should be out in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the things that God calls us to do together here will affect all that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we don't want to be poisonous. We don't want to be poisonous tares. Amen. We want to be people that when God sees us, he says, well done. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. Now, you're in Matthew 13 there. Go down to verse 44. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I was just reading these parables and I got into this and I thought, man, I really need to have this in there. Amen. Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven. You know, he went through this many times here when he was talking about this, these parables. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like. And he said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Praise the Lord. He found this treasure. He found, you know, the Bible says, and is it Proverbs or Proverbs? I rejoice at your word as one who struck it rich. Saying the same thing. Jesus said, you know, somebody who discovers what this faith truly is about, it's so precious to them that they do whatever they have to do. They leave everything behind. He says he sold all. And what does that mean? Does that mean that you have to give, that you have to, you know, you have to sell your house, you have to sell your car, you have to sell your kids just to follow God? No, please don't do that. Amen. Don't sell your kids. It's not a good thing. And keep your kids. Praise the Lord. Raise them in the admonition of the Lord. And they'll be great. The Bible says that they're like, what? They're like arrows in the quiver. Praise the Lord. I like that. Shoot my kids at somebody. Hallelujah. Gloria. You're not accurate. Praise the Lord. No, but they'll take care of things. Amen. Amen. I don't understand this thing. Parents raising their kids to go out into the world and then forget about the parents. Yeah. I don't understand that. Yeah, I just don't. One of the things I love about my mom is she made me believe until I was like 25, was until I finally figured it out, that I couldn't leave this area. She did. She just had it in me. I don't know how she did it, but she just had it. She's like, you can't leave. It's like I even mentioned, even she got a whiff of me leaving, and she'd start putting the guilt on me. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. It was finally about the time I was about 25, I realized, you know what? When I was 18, I totally could have left. There was nothing that was holding me down that was keeping me from doing that. I would have been a lot worse if she hadn't lied to me. Praise the Lord. That's a joke. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But no, I'm glad she did. Why? Because we have a close relationship. Amen. Praise God. Now I get to preach at her. She preached at me all those years. Now I get to preach at her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But that's what, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand why people are just so quick to, you know, why would you be so quick to send your kid off, you know, 1,000 miles away to have some job and never talk to you, never see you? Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't like that. But amen. Praise the Lord. That's why I made my son buy a house in Mayville. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, not really, but you know, it's kind of truth. Amen. But we do this thing together. Hallelujah. Because God uses us as a family. Amen. We're like the Partridge Family of Mayville. Family Church Mayville. Amen. Not really, but because we don't all sing. Dear God, we don't. Thank God. Praise the Lord. A couple of us can kind of sing. The rest of us, well, praise the Lord. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now listen, if you sent your kids away, you know, you got to follow God too. I do know some families where this has happened to serve God, you know. And if listen, if my kids are called to serve God in Guatemala, I don't know where Guatemala is, but if they're called there, pray, we'll send them there. Amen. We'll help them go. You know, it's following the plan of God is what's most important. But what I'm saying is, the importance of sticking together in family. It's a big thing with God, and it should be a big thing with us. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope that's understandable enough, you know, and well, praise God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:19. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're talking about conversion therapy, right? Being converted. Converting our thinking to being more Christ-like, being more like what he wants. Being more body-minded than self-minded. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes I'm more stomach-minded than I am body-minded. My body responds by growing. You know it's true, but it's the truth. That's a good example of the way it is. If you focus in one area and not the other areas, you know what I mean? The other areas go without, don't they? If you focus on your stomach, well, things around you will grow. If you focus on your tongue, the way things taste and stuff like that. If you don't exercise, stuff like that. All these things we have to, you know, there's things we have to do to maintain, right? Well, it's the same thing with the body of Christ. If we're not maintaining it, if we're focused in one area, then the others are going to suffer as a result of it. Amen? But we want to grow together. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, read through 26. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity is not some hard word that we can't understand. Really, all it is unrighteousness. It's not godly thinking is what it is. It's the opposite of godly thinking. It's anything that you just do for you. It's sin, but it's more than just sin. You know, it's just not thinking right. Amen? We need to be people who think right. Yeah. We need to be people who think about God right, to think about the church right. You know, there's plenty of people that think, well, we don't need to go to church. Well, that's not thinking right. Because that's the first place that God has called us to be. The first thing he did was give us the gifts of the ministry offices. And so if we think that, you know, church is optional, you know what I mean? And listen, we don't get in condemnation about this. We just need to know the importance of it. I preach this all the time. I preach this last, not this message, but that same thing in Corey last night. You know, it doesn't matter where we go. If I go to Jamestown, I preach it there. If somebody sent me somewhere else to preach, I would preach it there. It does not matter. We have to hear this. We have to understand this. We need to think about things the way God thinks about things. We need to think about the church the way God thinks about the church. If we don't, we're thinking about it wrong. We're not humbling ourselves. We're being higher in our estimation because we think that our opinion of it matters more than his opinion of it. God so loved the world, but he so loved the church. I said, God loves his church. The Bible said he's coming back for a glorious church. Hallelujah. Without spot or blemish. That is not a church that is off doing whatever everybody doing whatever they want to do. We need to find out where we're called to be and what vein God has called us in, because if we want the plan of God, that's where it's located. It's discovered in the places where he has us planted. Amen. Praise the Lord. People will depart from church for all kinds of crazy reasons. I've seen it over the years since I've been pastoring, and even before, I've seen people leave for dumb reasons. Yeah. And actually, you know, someplace that God has me, you can't move me from that. Right. I'm just gonna tell you the truth. You can't. You won't divide me from that. I won't be divided from where God has called me to flourish. Right. Why? Because I won't flourish elsewhere. Right. You know what I mean? No. There's, you know, praise the Lord. There's times where, you know, you go on vacation or something like that. I'm not. We're not talking about that. Yeah, sure. Praise God. But we need to. We need to live our lives to make that more of a reflection of our life. That when people, even when people see us, they think, "Oh, well, that person is a Christian. They're a churchgoer." You know, there's a lot of Christians that you wouldn't even know what they are, sitting at the bar, looking like the rest of the world. Yeah, Christians have no business being at a bar. They have no business being. Now, if you go to Applebee's or something like that, don't go to Applebee's. But if you go to like that, you know, they got you understand what I'm saying. But people are bellied up to a bar, Christians bellied up to a bar, just sitting there drinking, just like the rest of the devils want you to. That's exactly what it is. There's no difference. There is no difference. There is no difference. Just because you're saved doesn't mean all of a sudden, people think that their freedom in Christ sometimes means free for all in Christ, that they can do whatever they want now. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean all of a sudden that you're all, you know, God's okay with you doing shots. Getting all drunk-minded. Yeah. The Bible says to stay sober. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. That's free, no charge for somebody, I guess. Hallelujah. But in a great house are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, I'm going to correct something I said earlier. Because we say this sometimes from a standpoint of trying to calm down the feelings of some Christians who think wrong. I say that this is not a works mentality, but we need to have a works mentality. And I'm going to correct that now, because I don't want to back off from that or seem, and my heart in it was saying it was right, and that I'm not saying that we are saved by works. We are not saved by what we've done. Yeah. Amen. The Bible is very clear about that. But it's also very clear that we are saved for a purpose, and that purpose, we need to figure out what that is. And right here we see it again, and so we can't correct it. Amen. Prepared for every good work. How can you be prepared for good work if it's not about works? God wants you to be works-minded. If you're not thinking about work, listen, whatever you're not thinking about is something you're not going to do. Right. If you're not thinking about the work of God, you're not going to say, what's the work of God? The work of God is taking this gospel to the world. Now, we'll all be a different part of that. Not all of us will preach. Not all of us will go into other lands. Not all of us, but we will be a part of that that goes forward. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And we need to take that with us. Wherever we go, we need to be a solid Christians. We need to be solid people in thought and in action, so that when people see us, they see stability in us and not instability. Yeah. God doesn't call us to hop around. I always say this all the time. You know, some people live life like, or Christians live like ping pong balls. Bing bong, ping pong, all over the place, going back and forth, up and down, moving here, moving there. That's not what God has called you to do. God does not call you. Now listen, if you are in a ministry, a traveling ministry, and you have been released by God, by people over you, and other people recognize your traveling ministry, and you get sent all over the world, praise God, that is of God. But notice there's stability in that. There is not stability when you're up here, down here, over here, left, right, you know, changing jobs every other month, stuff like that. That's not God. Now listen, there are time periods where things come and we don't have a choice in it. You understand? But God has called us stable people. Why? Because when you have stability, praise the Lord, then you can add something where you're at.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so we need to be people that demand stability in our lives. I said we need to be, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. We need to be people that demand stability in our lives. I will not have a life that's not stable. I said I will not have a life that's not stable. I will live a stable life. Why? Because when my life is stable, guess what? I know exactly what we know exactly what we can give and what we can't give. You know how we know? Praise the Lord, because our lives are stable. We know what we can believe for and what we can't believe for. You know how we know? Because our lives are stable. We know where we're going to be on Sunday. You know why? Because our lives are stable. We know we're going to be on Tuesday. Why? Because our lives are stable. Actually, we know pretty much where we'll be all the time because our lives are stable. Now, things come up sometimes. You understand, things come up, but we stay before the Lord, we stay stable. Our life isn't all over. It's not like sometimes it's real busy. Hallelujah for busy. Glory to God. Sometimes we'd like to get away more, but you understand, but we're stable. Yeah. Amen. You know what stability is. Stability is not, never know what you're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. How are we, where are we going to be? Or where are we going to get this? Or where are we going to get that? That's not stable. If you're living like that, you're not living as God has intended to live. I said, if you're like, you could be in one place and be unstable.
That's right.
Why? Because you just don't ever know. I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know. Ba, 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 ba. You're unstable. God has not called us to instability. Amen. Well, that was free, no charge. Amen. Verse 21. Where were we? Yep, 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the water, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master. Sanctified is holy. It's clean. It's been washed. Amen. Useful for the master. We want to be useful for God, right?
Yes.
What does that mean? People who aren't are not.
Right.
People who have not cleansed themselves. People who are living life like this, but they don't have the focus on God, they're not useful for God. God doesn't need you to be talented to be useful. This is a newsflash. This was a newsflash for me. I am so thankful. God didn't need somebody to be smart to be a pastor. I am so thankful that God did not need somebody talented. Praise the Lord. He did need someone to be good looking. But he didn't need somebody to be all, you know, somebody who was so able and so just knew everything and had the best background or anything like that, you know. A man stopped to try to change my faith one day. Praise the Lord, my house. It did. It honestly did. I'm sitting there, and my driver was working on my truck. I was about to go somewhere, and all of a sudden, this car's in the driveway, and I'm like, hi. And he reminded me I had met him once before, and he knew I was a pastor of the church. And he said, how solid are you in your faith? And I said, I think I'm pretty solid in my faith. You know, I was being nice. I mean, I'm really solid in what I believe. You know what I mean? But I was just being nice. I was like, yeah, I think I'm pretty solid. I mean, I do pastor a church, I pastor two churches, so I do have a pretty good understanding of what I believe and think it's true. Anyways, and, you know, aren't you glad that your pastor thinks that what he preaches is truth? Hallelujah. I believe this. All this stuff I'm saying to you, I actually believe it. Well, praise God. But there are people out there that call themselves pastors that don't believe it. They aren't pastors. If you don't believe every word that's written in here, the way that it's written in here, then you have no business standing in a pulpit. Well, praise the Lord. So anyways, he sits down on my porch and he talks with me for a while. You know, he wants to change my faith. Where was I going with this? Yeah, it wasn't about that. It was about something else. Yeah, he was trying to change my faith. He was trying to change me from what I believed in. You know, he was trying to offer me a different path. Well, you better know what you believe in. Praise the Lord. Christians, you need to know. You know what I mean? Like, listen, every Christian in here that has spent more than 2 weeks in this church should know how to get somebody saved. Why? We do it every single week. We give a salvation call every single week. You need to understand that. And if you don't, get to the place where you do. How do you do that? Ask somebody. Yeah. Say, hey, do you know how to get somebody saved? Yeah, well, teach me. Yeah. Every Christian in here that's been here for more than a month should know what being filled with the Holy Ghost is. It should be filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And if you're not, you need to ask somebody. Help me get this, because this is something that will help my life.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Every person in here should know that church is important, that the Bible is important, that the Word of God. How, ooh, time's slipping away, right? Praise the Lord. Yep. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, anyways, I'll end the story there, and I'll continue with the Word. Therefore, we read that. Going through 26. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We're to pursue these things with those who call on the Lord. So other Christians, we need to live like that. We need to be converted in our thinking. We need to look at other Christians differently. Yeah. If you look at contempt, if you look at your brother or sister with contempt, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Oh, glory. Knowing that they generate strife. God hates strife. If you live your life, this is not just in the church. If you are getting into foolish and ignorant dispute, like if it doesn't matter, then just stop it.
Right.
Who cares? If it's not, I mean, who cares? Praise the Lord. People argue about petty things all the time. See, if you don't believe me, just look at Facebook.
Yeah.
Amen. Arguing about stupid stuff all the time. Just avoid it altogether. Amen. You ain't, oh, praise God, hallelujah. There's how many times I could have got, I'm not even going to get in there. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. A servant of God, this is what they look like. We got to be converted in our thinking, folks. Able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, in humility. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. What's the snare of the devil? It's to get people in arguments, to get people in disagreement, to get people arguing, to get people, you know, talking bad about this, talking about, listen, this stuff don't matter. The only thing that matters is the gospel of Christ. I'm just telling you right now, the only thing that matters is God. I'm gonna save a whole bunch of trials. Am I doing this? Am I doing that? I'm going to save you a whole bunch of headache. The only thing that matters is God.
Yeah.
The only thing.
Yeah.
You and I, we don't matter. God matters.
Yeah.
I said God matters.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. He determined that we matter to him. Praise the Lord. But the only thing that matters to me is God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Glory to God. And we're going to end here in Galatians 5:24. This is one of me and my daughter's scriptures that we recite. We've remembered, amen. I told you we do that every morning. Learn scripture. Get it in you.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It does not mean that you can't enjoy things in life, but it means that you're willing to crucify anything for God. You're willing to put anything down for the Lord, amen. And that's exactly what it's talking about. If we want to live lives that are blessed by God, then we got to live lives that bless God.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's one of the biggest things that we have to walk away from this knowing. We need to be converted in our thinking. Is this thing I'm doing, does this bring glory and honor to God?
Right.
Or is it bringing glory and honor to me?
Yeah.
You know something? I was an artist. I still do things, you know. But I used to have art shows. I used to have these art shows, my own single art show. People would come and we would have, you know, snacks and cheese and wine and different things, you know, whatever things. I'm talking BC, you know. And people would always, you know, they'd bill me, oh, this is so great. And I was writing books and all this stuff, like, you know, art books and this, different things and coming up with all these things. And these were, you know, things were really starting to take off in certain areas. Praise the Lord. But none of that mattered. None of it matters. Somebody asked me recently, they're like, do you still draw? I was like, you know, once in a great while. And it's not because I've crucified that.
Yeah.
There was a time when that was the most important thing in my life, but I crucified that for God. You know what? I haven't lost anything.
No.
I still get to enjoy things. You know, my wife and I, we're still lovers of art. We still get to enjoy and partake in things, amen. But we don't do it like we used to. I don't have big art shows anymore and stuff like that. It's just pride of life. It doesn't matter. It's not, you know, I don't need to be on display in order to feel fulfilled, amen. Praise God. The only thing that fulfills me is knowing that I've done the word of God, done the work of God, fulfilling God's plan. And so that should be with all of us. We need to be after things of God. It doesn't mean that we won't enjoy life. Praise the Lord. It doesn't mean that we can't draw pictures. Amen. It doesn't mean that we can't do things that we want to do. But let's just focus on God. Get that mindset that we'll have God above all. And he'll show us the best. He'll show us what things we can still we can still partake of, and he'll take things away that are no good for us. But whatever it is, it'll be good, and you'll be blessed, and everyone around you will be blessed. The purpose of a message like this is to bring us all up higher into the things that God has for us, because I'm telling you, as I step up into each level that God has for me, I'm just telling you, it's so glorious, and it's so much more glorious than the other. What God has us going is so much better than where we were, but we need to keep going with him. So let's rise to the occasion, folks. Let's run after it with everything we have. Let's partake of what God has for us. Let's get in that plan. Let's find out what Jeremiah 29:11 is really about. Praise the Lord. And it's not just about all the stuff that we amass, but it's about all the lives that we affect. Amen.